you will hear part of a radio program about the arts. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part 2.
Home may be a place of privacy and escape, but for some it is becoming less of a retreat and more of a place which people who come up with new jargon might term a multi-use environment. And now we have the scenario of the home being thrown open to the public as an art gallery or cinema or virtually anything one chooses, really, as long as it is fun or edifying. To tell me about some examples of this, I'm joined by our arts correspondent, Jasmine Wright. Jasmine, it all sounds a bit strange to me.
Well, it can be financially rewarding, though letting strangers into your home does require nerve. For example, there's a guy called Johnny Morris. He's an artist and designer who lives in East London, and he's decided to open his home under the title Gallery Ezra to sell his and his friend's prints. He put a sign outside, opened the door, and attracted some of the Sunday morning pedestrians that seethe along the flower market on his doorstep.
Sounds a bit risky.
Yes, he told me that allowing the public into his home was not without its fraught aspects. He found it exhausting getting up early on a Sunday and having people walking around his flat with shopping bags. But he said that people were very well behaved and incredibly polite. His flatmate was less keen, apparently, and said he should have a rent reduction. But Johnny says that the venture was good for neighbourly relations and that it was such a financial success that he's going to open up again in spring.
Well, good luck to him. Now, who else is doing it?
There's a couple also in East London, Phoebe Tate and Gareth Harris, who've also opened a gallery in their house. It's called Made to Measure, named after the previous tenants who were tailors, and it consists of a small room at the front of the house, which they're using as dedicated exhibition space. They say they don't want a gallery as such. According to Phoebe, who used to be an art consultant, it's important that it's part of the house because their plan is, and I quote, to make art more domestic. She says that nowadays a lot of art is monumentally sized and made for museums, but that throughout history it has been made for homes.
Interesting idea. Do they get a lot of visitors?
Yes. The building itself is part of the attraction, and a lot of their visitors are fascinated by the house. They've had to put up private signs telling visitors where they cannot go. And while they stress that entrance is by appointment only, passers-by may come in if it's convenient.
Worth a visit, in your view?
Definitely. And they also use the exhibition room for talks. Gareth, who's a goldsmith and a guide at the Victoria and Albert Museum, delivers historic accounts of the area from time to time, which I understand are well worth hearing.
Now, is this a London thing, and is it always about art?
No, and no. The sharing of a fantasy world may also be part of the open house tendency. For example, well outside London, there's a couple, Norman and Valerie Illingworth, who've got a cinema in their garage, where invited guests can sit in genuine velvet cinema seats and watch a motorised curtain unfurl onto a programme of archive film material that includes cartoons, newsreels and adverts.
What a terrific idea. Tell me more.
Well, Norman, who's 74, wears evening dress, and Valerie, who's 56, acts as usherette, serving popcorn and ice cream during the screenings. The creation of the atmosphere is the main point for them, with many authentic effects, including a 35mm projector housed in the former coal cellar. The Illingworths, who both used to work in the cinema and retained a permanent interest, are simply pleased to be able to share their enthusiasm in the comfort of their own garage. Oh, the garage is known as the Picture Dome, and it's acquired a certain amount of local fame, despite the fact that screenings are not that frequent.
Fascinating. Well, thanks, Jasmine. So, if you'd like to open your house up for the public and you'd like to find out more information, you can...
Now you'll hear part two again.
Home may be a place of privacy and escape, but for some it is becoming less of a retreat and more of a place which people who come up with new jargon might term a multi-use environment. And now we have the scenario of the home being thrown open to the public as an art gallery or cinema or virtually anything one chooses, really, as long as it is fun or edifying. To tell me about some examples of this, I'm joined by our arts correspondent, Jasmine Wright. Jasmine, it all sounds a bit strange to me.
Well, it can be financially rewarding, though letting strangers into your home does require nerve. For example, there's a guy called Johnny Morris. He's an artist and designer who lives in East London, and he's decided to open his home under the title Gallery Ezra to sell his and his friend's prints. He put a sign outside, opened the door, and attracted some of the Sunday morning pedestrians that seethe along the flower market on his doorstep.
Sounds a bit risky.
Yes, he told me that allowing the public into his home was not without its fraught aspects. He found it exhausting getting up early on a Sunday and having people walking around his flat with shopping bags. But he said that people were very well behaved and incredibly polite. His flatmate was less keen, apparently, and said he should have a rent reduction. But Johnny says that the venture was good for neighbourly relations and that it was such a financial success that he's going to open up again in spring.
Well, good luck to him. Now, who else is doing it?
There's a couple also in East London, Phoebe Tate and Gareth Harris, who've also opened a gallery in their house. It's called Made to Measure, named after the previous tenants who were tailors, and it consists of a small room at the front of the house, which they're using as dedicated exhibition space. They say they don't want a gallery as such. According to Phoebe, who used to be an art consultant, it's important that it's part of the house because their plan is, and I quote, to make art more domestic. She says that nowadays a lot of art is monumentally sized and made for museums, but that throughout history it has been made for homes.
Interesting idea. Do they get a lot of visitors?
Yes. The building itself is part of the attraction, and a lot of their visitors are fascinated by the house. They've had to put up private signs telling visitors where they cannot go. And while they stress that entrance is by appointment only, passers-by may come in if it's convenient.
Worth a visit, in your view?
Definitely. And they also use the exhibition room for talks. Gareth, who's a goldsmith and a guide at the Victoria and Albert Museum, delivers historic accounts of the area from time to time, which I understand are well worth hearing.
Now, is this a London thing, and is it always about art?
No, and no. The sharing of a fantasy world may also be part of the open house tendency. For example, well outside London, there's a couple, Norman and Valerie Illingworth, who've got a cinema in their garage, where invited guests can sit in genuine velvet cinema seats and watch a motorised curtain unfurl onto a programme of archive film material that includes cartoons, newsreels and adverts.
What a terrific idea. Tell me more.
Well, Norman, who's 74, wears evening dress, and Valerie, who's 56, acts as usherette, serving popcorn and ice cream during the screenings. The creation of the atmosphere is the main point for them, with many authentic effects, including a 35mm projector housed in the former coal cellar. The Illingworths, who both used to work in the cinema and retained a permanent interest, are simply pleased to be able to share their enthusiasm in the comfort of their own garage. Oh, the garage is known as the Picture Dome, and it's acquired a certain amount of local fame, despite the fact that screenings are not that frequent.
Fascinating. Well, thanks, Jasmine. So, if you'd like to open your house up for the public and you'd like to find out more information, you can contact.
That's the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.